Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Come on. You having a good day today? Yeah, so good to be with you as we kick off Holy Week. And what a significant moment in time. Easter at Bridge City Church. That's the series we're in here. And I don't know if you know this or not, but in Christianity, this week leading up to what we refer to as Easter Sundays, it's kind of a big deal. Come on, somebody. Come on, are you with me here? Yeah. I mean, our whole faith is resting on what we remember happened this week with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're doing. So today, traditionally, now how many of you grew up maybe in traditional backgrounds where you remember like Palm Sunday? How many of y'all remember Palm Sunday was a big deal? You went to church and you got palms. I know what you're thinking. We don't get those here, okay? And we do them every so often, but we don't hand them out to you today. But we're going to cover the three significant things that happened on what we refer to as Palm Sunday. Are you ready here? Listen, this is in liturgical tradition, we refer to this as Holy Week. I like to refer to it as Passion Week. It's passion. If you look up the word passion in the dictionary, most of the time it has leading up to the resurrection, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the dictionary. It's a Latin word which literally means suffering. It means to endure. So passion, when you say, oh, I have a real passion for basketball or a passion for hunting, that means you're willing to suffer and endure for that. Yeah. If you say, wow, I have a real passion for my family. Yeah, I have a passion for my marriage. Come on, is that right? Come on, yeah. So we have a passion for a lot of things, okay? And I mean, we use that word kind of lightly when it refers to Jesus. And this passion story that we look at on Palm Sunday, this triumphant entry of Jesus, it's in all four of the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Now, gospel means good news. Everybody say good news. How many of y'all could use some good news? Yeah, come on. Like, listen, everywhere you go this week, you got to tell people about the good news. The good news of Jesus Christ. He died and was buried, but he did what? That's right. Come on. We should be excited about that. That's good news, my friends. Come on. And it's written in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of them record it. Pretty interesting. If God put it there in there four times, how many of y'all know he wants us to get it? Are you with me? Four times, you better get this. That's what he's saying. Out of 89 chapters in the Gospels, about 31%, right about there, 31% is found in the last week of Jesus' life. How many of y'all know, like, 3 years cover the other? And then 31% is this last week. That's pretty serious. Now, how many of y'all realize if you knew you had 1 week to live here on earth, how many of y'all know your values would show in that last week? Your values, what you value, what you believe would really come out during that time. But I'm going to let you know that we look at things through suffering. We look at things through pain. But Jesus looks at the end result. Right. Let me give you this example. A couple weeks ago, I had a couple teeth, that's right, plural, removed. Okay, and I told everybody, I said, man, I'm getting these teeth removed. They've been infected. They've been having a lot of problems. And so finally we had to get it removed. And I didn't tell anybody, hey, guess what the good news? I'm going to get an implant. We're going to take care of the problem. It's going to become better. All I told people was how much pain I was in. Come on, somebody. I told everybody, I'm like, this hurts, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt for a couple of days, and I can't chew right, and I can't do this. And see, we're focused on pain, but Jesus is focused on the end result. See, I want you to catch that. Suffering and pain lead to something great. Here. So here's the big idea. Here's the big idea I want you to catch today about Palm Sunday. Jesus demonstrated his passion, remember, enduring, suffering, for God's plan, people, and a house of prayer. Here we go. Say this out loud. What is here? God's So this is what it is. So we're going to look at these three things about Palm Sunday, three significant things that happened. Part of God's plan didn't just begin on Palm Sunday when Jesus went into Jerusalem. 500 years before, 516 years in one prophecy, 546 in another, that Jesus, it was predicted of what's going to happen on this day, on this Palm Sunday. Pretty significant. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Talks about rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph. Remember that word shout there. Look, your king is coming. And then it also says, yet he's humble, riding on a donkey's colt. Everything was lining up, and Jesus had a passion for God's plan, because you know what his plan was all about? It was all about you, and it was all about me. It was, the plan wasn't just about a program. The plan wasn't to start a church. The plan was for people's lives to be redeemed. Am I in the right place today? Come on, are you with me? And so all this plan, so Jesus getting ready to go in Jerusalem on this last week of his life here, sends his disciples in. He says, hey, go get the donkey. It's going to be tied up. And he gets on the donkey. And then in Luke 19, we pick it up here in Luke 19. It's a passion for the plan. And as he rode along, so Jesus is riding on this donkey, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. And when he reached a place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Now, in biblical times, it was common that a dignitary or a political person or a king that just conquered in war, conquered another nation or conquered a people, they would be coming into town. It was very common that everybody would know the king's coming, and they would meet the king outside the gates of the city, and then they would welcome the king into the city. So this was normal. This isn't a one-off. This is like people knew this. See, in their day and age, this was normal. There was going to be a victory parade. Okay, there's going to be a big, big parade. How many of y'all love a parade? Okay, Memorial Day's coming. Come on, somebody. And there's a big parade, and there's this big victory parade coming. So they would meet them outside there, and they would begin to sing and shout. Now, in this text, it doesn't say anything about palm branches here. But I want to let you know, remember, it's in all four of the Gospels. In John and Mark, it talks they cut down branches from trees, and they laid them down. But it says that they took their garments here, and they would literally take off their coat, and they would literally take off their garment here, and they would lay it down in front of the king, in front of the victorious king, and put down palm branches down. And then the king, sometimes on a war horse, sometimes on, in this case, a donkey here, a young colt, would ride. It was almost like a red carpet experience. That's what was happening. It was a red carpet experience. It was a sign of victory. It was a sign that, wow, we're honoring you. Very, very significant thing happening. So that's what they were doing. They were laying it down. The king's coming in here, and there was nothing typical about this event. As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew 21, verse 10, it says when he came into town, it says there was an uproar. Now, this uproar literally means that the earth shook. I mean, there was a quaking. That's how loud the shouts were. The shouts were very significant. It would be like if you were in downtown Pittsburgh or maybe on the North Shore during a football game and the Steelers scored a touchdown. What happens? What happened? An uproar. Okay? I mean, some people are just saying glory, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. But there's an uproar, right? Or if the Pirates in PNC Park, like they're down by three and somebody hits a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. What happens? Yeah, fireworks. I mean, there's an uproar, right? And if you were outside, and what do you think? Has it ever happened to you? There's this big, like, and what? I missed it. That's what I think. I missed it. What happened? Right? And what do? We get our phone. We start, because we're afraid we're going to miss it. Do you know what's happening this week? What we're remembering? People are hearing a shout. They're hearing a cry, and they're going to miss it unless we define what the significance is on this day. We got to let people know this is a big deal. We got to let people know. So there's this big uproar. There's this big shout. There's this big, big praise going on. So what were they shouting? In verse 38, this is what they were shouting. Blessings on the king. Blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. Now, in the book of Matthew, and again, I'm referring a lot to John and Mark and Matthew because they give us a complete picture here. What it literally means, they were yelling, Hosanna. Hosanna. I mean, they were yelling out. They weren't just saying like, oh, Hosanna. Yay. You know? I mean, they were yelling out, Hosanna, save us. They were literally yelling out, save us. Now, really what they were crying out for, you got to catch this. They still didn't even know what they were crying out for because they were crying out for a political savior. They were crying out saying, Jesus, save us from Roman oppression. God doesn't necessarily want to save us from political oppression. He wants to save us from sin's oppression. And if we're not careful, we're going to get our eyes on political rather than sinful. We're going to get our eyes on everything else except for what really matters and get our eyes off. Listen, there's a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Hosanna! How many of y'all know a desperate people is a dangerous people? Have you ever been desperate before? Come on, when you're desperate, you don't care what you look like. Are you with me? When you're desperate, you don't care. You'll yell, you'll cry out. We need a Savior. And it's not up here right now, but you might want to write down Psalm 118. Psalm 118 speaks of this day. It says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That psalm's written about Palm Sunday. This is the day. This is the plan. This is God's plan. Church, this is kind of a big deal. Yep. Jesus is going in to make a way where you and I couldn't earn it on our own. You and I couldn't do this for ourselves. Jesus is doing this. See, if we're not careful, significant days like this just become ordinary. They just become like, oh, yeah, Palm Sunday, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, Hosanna, Hosanna. That's what we do. And we miss it. We miss the purpose of it all. We miss the significance of Jesus giving His life for us. This is the day that the Lord hath made. You see, Jesus, listen, He didn't just come to make us feel good for a moment. He came to clean the innermost, nastiest parts of our life. See, most of us, you know, we most people brush their teeth. We wish more. Yeah, we wish more. And a lot of people, they use a little bit of mouthwash. But you know what Jesus does? He goes in there and He flosses. And He gets the innermost parts cleaned out. And He's going in because nothing phases Him. But the plan wasn't just to make you feel good about yourself in the moment. It was to clean and get you cleansed from things you couldn't get cleansed of on your own. Come on, somebody. That was the plan. See, this whole Christianity is not just so I can feel good about myself. I feel better about myself. No, it's about that I know who Jesus Christ is. Hosanna! Save me. Save me now. So as Jesus is riding on the donkey, he gets in the gates, and they're still shouting, and they're still screaming and hollering here. Let's look at verse 41. But as He came closer to Jerusalem, He saw the city ahead. How I wish today that you of all people would understand. He's looking at Jerusalem. See, Jerusalem means city of peace. And that's what it's supposed to represent, peace. But He looks at them, and He says that you would understand the way to peace. Do you know, you can be living in the midst of peace but not understand the way to peace. Right. You could be here right now but not understand the way to peace and joy in life. Right. And He says, okay, but now it's too late. Peace is hidden from your eyes. He looked at His Jerusalem. over this next week, I want to pray that you see your Jerusalem the way Jesus saw his. When it says he began to weep, it was uncontainable, audible grief. It was sobbing. Have you ever experienced sobbing where you can't be consoled? Have you been around somebody that sobbed and they can't be consoled? Isn't it an awkward feeling? This is what Jesus had. He's weeping, and there's some manuscripts and some liturgies, they will not even put weeping in here because Jesus weeping feels like it belittles him. I want to let you know that Jesus was fully God yet fully man. He felt emotion and he felt pain. And he knew that if people didn't receive him, their end result was hell, eternal separation from God. Let alone he knew that if people didn't receive him and didn't know him and know the Father, that they couldn't have peace and they couldn't have joy and they couldn't have a lasting purpose in their life. Do you understand? It was about people, church. But we get focused on all the ridiculous stuff. You see, when Jesus pulled over, it was as if it was a vista, and he looked at his Mount Olivet. This is what he saw. He saw a city. Do we see our city? Do you see White Oak and Elizabeth Forward and North Huntington and Irwin and North Versailles and Glassport and McKeesport? And do you see everywhere here? Are you willing to see where you work? And are you willing to see maybe your city? If we were downtown on Mount Washington, we'd look. And I'll tell you, I'd love to go down Mount Washington. I love a stroll on Mount Washington because I just love the beauty. But my heart breaks for it. My heart breaks for the city, for people. Are we willing to see the way Jesus sees? Let's bring it home. How about just seeing White Oak? See, we're seeing on this level here, God sees at a whole different level. Isn't that a different way to see where we are right now? And that's just one little part of it. What I'm trying to say is when you see the way God sees, and Palm Sunday has a significant moment where we're deeply moved. We're deeply moved. See, people were praising Jesus one minute, and then the next minute they're crucifying because they had all these mixed up reasons on who he was. People in your life and people in your circle, they don't focus. They don't know who he is. And it's up to us to let them know. Jesus wept. Into Holy Week in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus wept. As a matter of fact, he was weeping so hard it was as if drops of blood. In Hebrews, it writes about it. And it says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered up prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and with tears to the one who could rescue him from death. And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He wept and he cried. He cried over people. Great emotion with inaudible sounds. Two times in Holy Week, in Passion Week, Jesus wept and cried. May our prayer, not just my prayer for you, but may our prayer be, God, break my heart for what breaks yours. Yes. Let me see people differently. Let me see them, Lord. Not my will, but yours be done. We've been giving out these invitations for everybody here. And man, you got to, there's some on your way out if you don't have any, but you need these invitations. I've been handing them out. As a matter of fact, I ran out of them this week. I had to get more. I've been taking pictures of them and people maybe that my path won't cross. I've been inviting them. Because I want what breaks Jesus' heart to break mine, people. It's not about having more people in church. It's about having more people in heaven. Are you with me? See, it's not about another program. It's about Jesus Christ saving lives. Hosanna, save me. Will you invite people this week, everybody you know? Will you invite people like, God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord God, with people that are far from you, Lord. This is the significance of what we know as Palm Sunday. First, there was a plan, and we know it's all about people. But then, as Jesus made his way, he descended the 2.2 miles from the Mount of Olives down into Jerusalem. Then he made his way in, and he goes to the temple. Now, the temple was a place of worship, okay? Now, the temple was a place of worship. And Jesus entered the temple, which would have been common. See, when a king would come in town, they would come in and then they would go into the temple. This is very normal. What I'm trying to say to you, see, we don't have a framework for this, but the people that were experiencing this did. And so he went in there and he began to drive out the people who were selling animals for sacrifices. Now, what on earth does this mean? What on earth does this mean here? And he said to them, the scriptures declare that my temple will be a house of prayer. But you've turned it into a den of thieves. You turned it into a bunch of thieving going on. What does this mean? See, the temple of God has a holy place. It has an inner court and then an outer court. There's three places. And in the outer court was the only place that people who are far from God, Gentiles, that means not godly people, not God's people, Israelites, but Gentiles could come and they could sit. The problem was, is that when people were bringing their animal sacrifices to the temple, this is what would happen. They would bring them there and then the priest would say, your sacrifice isn't good enough. You need to pay for your sacrifice for me. And they would sell you if it costs like $2 on your own, they'd sell it to you for $20. I mean, they were making 10 and 20 times more than what you could do on your own because they were saying, your sacrifice isn't good enough. You need to buy this one. See, there was commotion because they were treating the temple as if it was just ordinary. They were taking shortcuts through the temple to get through the city. And Jesus didn't take that too kindly, did he? He said, he threw them out. He drove them out. What are you doing? My house shall be a house of prayer. It shall be a place where people get connected to God. It shall be a place where people connect and communicate with God. Communion and worship. It shall be a place of worship and honoring and praise. Come on, somebody. See, that's what it should be. He said, but you didn't, you're turning it into something else. This is serious to him. So he gets rid of all those people here. He's quoting right now in this moment. He's quoting Isaiah. See, Jesus quotes the Bible. He quotes the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, it's speaking about this day. It says, I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem. Where's Jesus? In the mountain of Jerusalem, am I right? Okay, and I will fill them with joy in my house of, yeah, come on. And I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices. Jesus said, I'm going to accept them. You don't have to rip people off, okay? Because my temple will be called a house of, yeah, there you go, for all nations. At the bottom of the descending route out of Mount Olives, there's a church called the Church of All Nations. It's named after this. If you were to go to Israel, it's there right now. Because he's saying, this isn't just for my people, the Israelites. It's not just for us who know him. He's saying, this is going to be for other people. And he says, look, who brings back the outcast of Israel. I don't know about you, but I'm so happy he still brings back the outcast of Israel. Come on. He says, now I'm going to bring others too, besides you who are here today. He says, I'm going to bring some other people. Are you tracking this? Next week, there's going to be a lot more people here. Okay? Now, all of you who are regularly here and you know the truth, okay, you're going to have to give up your seat. Or you're going to have to come on Saturday. The only way you get at 9:30 is if you have a friend. You got to bring an outcast of Israel or somebody far from God. Then you can be in here. Is that good? That's your admission ticket. Okay, we're going to stand at the door. But what I'm saying is the outcast of Israel will bring others beside. The house of prayer is all about people far from God. Come on, somebody. See, this is what it's about. So we see the plan. We see people. And then we see this house of prayer that he's created. May we never take this for granted. Hey, let's not take each other for granted. Let's not take each other for granted. Let's keep what matters mattering. And let's this week go out and get everybody we can, anybody and everybody we can, to follow after him. A couple weeks ago, we filled out these impact cards, these prayer cards. And on the wall over to your right, you see all the cards just like this up there. If you missed it, what people did was that everybody here, we wrote down names of people that are going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. There are only two options. And we wrote down people that we care about and love, and we wrote their names, and we've been praying for these people. So today, we're going to pray for those people. We're going to turn this into a house of prayer.